Good morning, everyone, and welcome to HTK Online Worship this morning. Welcome to HTK Church family members, and welcome to all friends of HTK who might be joining with us this morning. The COVID lockdown restrictions have certainly meant a change for our worship this morning. Today, I bring you worship from my chapel room in my home. Nigel's over in his home manning the computers, and Bob Woolner will be coming to you later with a pre-recorded sermon for today. So as we begin in these unusual circumstances, just bear with us if we have any technical hiccups. I'm sure Nigel will be onto them as soon as possible. But let's just commit everything today to our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come before you today in these unusual circumstances to ask you to join our hearts as one in union to worship and praise you today. Let us receive from you all the good gifts that you have to give us. Come to each one of us in our own homes and minister to us your grace and love and mercy. So bless us, Lord, as we gather now in the fullness of your name. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you can either stand up or sit back and let's sing together, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. Would you join me now in a time of confession? Knowing the goodness of God and our failure to respond with love and obedience, let us confess our sins. O God, you have searched us out and known us, and all we are is open to you. We confess that we have sinned. We have used our power to dominate and our weakness to manipulate. We have evaded responsibility and failed to confront evil. We renounce evil. We claim your love. We choose to be made whole. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion, forgiving all who humbly repent and trust in his Son as Saviour and Lord. God therefore forgives you in Christ Jesus, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Join with me now in the prayer of the day. Grant, O Lord, that we may see in you the fulfillment of all our need and may turn from every false satisfaction to feed on the true and living bread that you have given us in Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to share with you the first reading for this morning. Father Bob has pre-recorded the gospel reading and the sermon, and the sermon today will be based on the reading from Ephesians, and he will read you the text of the second reading as he proceeds through his sermon. So to our Old Testament reading for today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 5 to 9, chapter 18, verse 14, and chapter 18, verses 31 to 33. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake." And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. The army marched into the field to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There the army of Israel was defeated by David's men, and the casualties that day were great, 20,000 men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest claimed more lives that day than the sword. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule. And as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's head got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair, while the mule he was riding kept on going. Joab said, "I'm not going to wait like this for you." So he took three javelins in his hand and plunged them into Absalom's heart while Absalom was still alive in the oak tree. Then the Cushite arrived and said, "My lord the king, hear the good news. The Lord has delivered you today from all that rose up against you." The king asked the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" The Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 6, a selection of verses.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This morning we continue looking at the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. A couple of weeks ago we looked at the vision of unity. And then last week Steve spoke to us about growing up in Christ. Today we look at Christ-like living. We draw the theme of Christ-like giving from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through to chapter 5, verse 2. But before looking more intently at those verses, I'd like to share with you Christ-like living and a personal example. This is Simon. That's not his real name. I've kept his name quiet for security purposes because, you see, Simon works for the South Australian Police Force. He has just returned to work after 13 months off. His absence was not work-related. It was health-related. Yet through the numerous times that Simon suffered from his cancers that riddled his body, he did not give up hope, and he encouraged others at all times. Here are a couple of examples of the way that he sent posts over Facebook to encourage people as he suffered and to encourage them. As part of Simon's treatment, he had to undergo a pelvic reconstruction and hip replacement. This entailed the insertion of a titanium cage and cup, as his pelvis had been eaten away by bone cancer. It also involved a chrome-plated femoral head and a 30-centimeter shaft being cemented into his femur. Now that sounds pretty awful. But mind you, a day or two after, Simon put this post on Facebook. The text says, "I can't say I'm entirely pleased with my new hip replacement." As Simon returned to work, he sent an email out, and this, I believe, is a perfect example of Christ-like living. The email he sent out says, "If anyone is not working or not getting a paycheck and runs out of food or necessities, or the times are just tough, please don't let yourself or your kids go to sleep with an empty stomach. Don't be afraid or embarrassed to send me a private message. I am more than happy to share whatever I can. No one has to know, and I will pretend that it never happened. What's understood never has to be explained." Again, I'd just like to mention also briefly about our gospel passage for today, which fits beautifully into our theme of Christ-like living. Because Jesus reminds us that the true life lived in God is lived in us, as we are the bread for others. So now let's start to look at the passage from Ephesians as we look at Christ-like living. As a departure from usual practice, I won't be reading the entire passage and then looking at it. I'll read it part by part, but I believe that it's important that we consider what the overall message of Paul to the Ephesians has for us. The first of the messages is that Paul's letter to the Ephesians is filled with reminders that God's kingdom is full and open to all who put their faith and trust in him. The second message we get from Paul's letter to the Ephesians is that people of hope are to live in ways that distinguish themselves from the rest of society. So Christ-like living. Living and loving like Jesus is hard. There is a struggle to live in ways that are worthy of God's call. It is hard to live faithfully in a broken world. And yes, there will be anger issues. So, Ephesians chapter 4 and the start of chapter 5. Paul tells us of some of the challenges of Christ-like living. Firstly, tell the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. Secondly, righteous anger. Here, Paul links with Psalm 4, verse 4. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your heart and be silent. Going back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, Paul writes, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. The next challenge, honesty. Verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with others in need. They must have been a bit of a rough lot. Those of you that are stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Paul reminds that the outcome of work is not only a moral issue, it is also an issue of community, because those who work are to share with those who are in need. The next is unwholesome talk. What a nice way to talk about lying. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Then Paul raises another issue of grieving the Holy Spirit in verse 30, where he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, what is this concept of grieving the Holy Spirit? The phrase comes to us out of Isaiah chapter 63. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I'll just share with you a couple of those verses from Isaiah 63. Verse 9. In their distress, the Lord too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And then going on, we read, yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. And then in verse 10, then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people, where he brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock. Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them? You see, the people had to go through a time of grief, having grieve the Holy Spirit. They had to repent and return to the Lord. And this is what Paul is talking about. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Because you see, grieving the Holy Spirit has a couple of components to it. Because you see, as Christians, we are already recipients of God's promise. We are to show respect and gratitude, not only to others, but especially to God. And we are to conduct ourselves in ways that will not produce pain to God. Jesus has already suffered for us. The next challenge that Paul puts before us is inappropriate behaviour. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, and along with every form of malice. Living in a broken world was not easy at the time that Paul was writing, and it certainly is not easy for us today. We continue to the next of the challenges, and that is compassion and forgiveness. Paul writes, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In the next couple of verses, Paul reminds us that all Christians must be thoughtful about what they say, making sure they limit their words to those that will build up the community and give Christ-like grace. And our passage set down for today concludes with the first verses from chapter 5 of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, as Paul writes about sacrificial love. He reminds us, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave up for us an offering and sacrifice to God. Paul reminds us that Jesus gave his all, true agape love, sacrificial love, and we are challenged too to live in similar ways. So as we've looked at this passage and the passage from John chapter 6, what have you learnt? What have I learnt? The first, Christians are called to imitate God. A high challenge indeed. Secondly, not only are we adopted by God, but we are also beloved of God. The image that Paul uses is that we are heirs. We are heirs to the kingdom. God has adopted us, and we are so beloved. Number three, we should live in love as Christ loved us. Number four of the learnings for this morning, it is okay to be angry, but we must not allow anger to cause us to hurt others. The fifth also involves anger. Do not let anger to be the cause us to act against God's will. Number six, Jesus' love is unconditional. The greatest challenge for the Christ-like living person is to make our love unconditional. Number seven, we must practice kindness and love toward one another. Do you pick up the theme that is coming through this? And number eight, we are to become the bread of life for one another. The living bread, the bread that we share week by week as we reach out our hands to receive the sacrament. We are to become the living bread to the community, to others. And number nine, we are to help each other in times of hardship. So I'd like to conclude and invite you to join me in this prayer. Ever patient God, May your peace fill our minds and hearts like an ever-flowing stream. Wash away pain that expresses itself through slander, dishonesty, and frustration. Show us how to use our anger not as a weapon, but as a tool for justice. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share this message, albeit from the other side of Lake Kawana. Bless you all. Amen.
Thank you, Father Bob. That was a wonderful message for us to take into the week, particularly at this difficult time of living with COVID and lockdown. Let's move on now through Christ-like living to sing the song In Christ Alone.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love, this gift and of righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness lay.
Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can never pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, in Christ alone.
Let us pray together a statement of faith called In the Silence. Into the silence of the void the Creator spoke, and the world came into being. The word of God in the vastness brought light from darkness, matter from nothing, flesh from dust, life from lifelessness. In the quiet of a small town in Palestine, the word of God came to us. Even though of one being with the Creator, Jesus, our Christ, taking on human form, was born, lived and walked among us, speaking the words of life. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He rose from the dead and speaks to us today. He is the one who saves us from ourselves. In the stillness of our souls, the Spirit of God, who is one with the Creator and the Christ, whispers the word and calls us back to the Creator, back to the Christ, back to the wholeness of everlasting life and the unity of the Creator, Christ and Spirit. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Most merciful and loving God, in you is steadfast love and hope. Hear us when we pray for all people and for your church throughout the world. We pray for all the nations of the world, their leaders and people. In every age you have fed and sustained your people. Hear today the cries of those who suffer starvation, oppression, imprisonment or war, and teach us how to live together in harmony and peace. Loving God, broken for us in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your holy Catholic Church, its clergy and people. You feed us with your body and blood and sustain us with your living word. Meet us today in the breaking of the bread. Make us one in the meal we share, and send us out to feed your hungry people. Loving God, broken for us in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all with whom we share our lives, for our families, our friends, and the people of this community. You lived on earth in a human family and gathered around you a good group of friends. Be present in all our relationships, that we may live together in love and sustain one another with our kindness and care. And loving God, broken for us in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all in need, for the friendless and the bereaved, the sick and the dying, for those in anxiety and distress. Lord, we pray for all of those suffering from COVID-19 and the effects of COVID-19. We pray for family and friends who are supporting those who are suffering. Lord, look upon them with your grace and mercy and love, and let them know your gracious presence in the midst of their suffering. Lord, help us to be Christ to those who we know who are suffering. Lord, we lift up to you today Wendy Jensen, who is to have surgery tomorrow. We ask you, Lord, to please bless Wendy and take her safely through her surgery. And we pray, Lord, that indeed the surgery will reap 100% success for Wendy, and she will go on to health and happiness and longevity. Lord, we pray for our dear friend, Father Kevin Lewis, and we ask you to bless him in his suffering with his broken pelvis. We ask you, Lord, to bless him and relieve him of the great pain that he is in. We ask you, Lord, to indeed bless him as he goes on this journey to have the nodule on his lung examined. And we thank you, Lord, that by your grace it was found. We ask you to bless him and Judy and Susan at this time. O Lord, you have pity on all who call on you, and you offer wholeness and hope to your people. Bring comfort and relief to all who suffer anguish, pain, or grief. And to those who care for them, give tenderness and skill. And loving God, broken for us in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who have died in the faith, for your holy people of every age, for those from this parish who have gone before us to eternal life. Long ago, you fed your chosen people in the wilderness and brought them safely to the promised land. Feed us too with the bread of heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for the bread of your word this day that we have been able to feed on. With all your saints, Lord Jesus, bring us home to the place you prepare for all who love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let us pray together now the prayer our Father has taught us through his Son. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So as you go, live as Christ in the world, and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always and empower you to live as Christ in the world. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Just a few announcements before we leave. There's going to be a farewell afternoon tea for John and Kay Kerr on Wednesday, the 18th of August at 2 p.m. at Urban Espresso. John and Kay have sold their unit here in Caloundra, and they're returning to Melbourne to be with their daughter. We'll miss them, and so let's get together to say farewell and thank you to them for the great contribution they have made to our church.
On behalf of the Social Welfare Committee, I announce today that we are beginning a new ministry, HTK Food Bank. It is an extension of our ministries to the homeless and disadvantaged on the Sunshine Coast. This ministry is critical to those experiencing stress in ways that we have not seen in the past. Why are we doing this? Well, allow me to draw upon the work of Food Bank Australia from their annual report published in October 2020. Firstly, 33% of Queenslanders facing hunger in 2020 have never experienced it before the pandemic. Secondly, 28% of Queenslanders in crisis are going a whole day a week without eating. Thirdly, 65% of the 18 to 25 year olds facing a hunger crisis are going without food at least once a week. And fourthly, 47% of Queenslanders facing a hunger crisis have accessed food relief at least once since the start of the pandemic. So Food Bank Australia will hopefully become one of our suppliers. Another supplier is OzHarvest Sunshine Coast. Since 2014, OzHarvest have been helping people of the Sunshine Coast from as far afield as Gympie through the Sunshine Coast hinterland to our own area here. Who will be our suppliers? We are hoping that all parishioners will come behind this ministry and support it. We have regular assistance each week from Banjo's Bakery just over the fence. We also have Oz Harvest coming on stream every week with a supply of groceries and fresh produce. And hopefully we will have assistance from Food Bank Queensland. We'll share with more with you from next week onwards. How can you help? When and how HTK Food Bank will operate. Looking forward to be able to sharing this exciting development with you in future weeks as we prepare for a launch on September 7.
Our birthdays for this week, our great technician who's at home live streaming this for us today is having a birthday as well today. So we wish Nigel Barron a very happy day today. Birthdays for the week is Bob Woolner and Judy Lewis, Robert Henderson on the 10th, on the 11th, David Reed and Denise Quinn, on the 12th, Brian Rogers, on the 14th, Luke Mitchell. Also have a couple of wedding anniversaries. Tomorrow is Rob and Desley Markham, and on the 14th is Brian and Wendy Rogers. And we wish you every blessing for your wedding anniversary celebrations this week. Let us sing the song to conclude. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I think we got through all of that service well without any technical hitches from my end anyway. I wish you a very blessed Sabbath day for the rest of the day. As I shared with you last week, use the rest of this day to have an old-fashioned Sabbath to rest in the Lord. Maybe take up that book of Ephesians after you have a cup of tea and read it from beginning to end. Or read a Christian book or watch a Christian movie or spend some time in prayer and give the rest of the day to the Lord, remembering his great grace and love and mercy. Well, I'm not sure if we're going to be allowed back for worship next Sunday, but I wish you a very blessed week, and through the week we will be in touch. God bless you.